Hallelujah. The praise team will remember what I was saying yesterday as we closed the retreat yesterday, the praise and worship retreat. And I just want to tell you guys, I'm focused. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm focused on what God is doing here, right now. Amen. Amen. At the same time, I do want to recognize, because I believe that this is, you know, a sign from the Lord, that Theodore Wade McMahon is on his way on the very day, at the very time that we're beginning, that we're having a new birth, if you will, here at our church. Okay? And, you know, these two services are beginning today as new life is coming into our family. Amen. And I believe that that's representative of new life that's coming into our church. Okay? And I want to say one thing very specific that I believe the Lord wants to communicate to us through this, if you will, coincidence. I don't believe it's a coincidence. Okay? Now, you know, as this new life is born, as Theodore Wade is born, he's going to be born as a little tiny baby. You know, and if you look at the little tiny baby, you don't really see the potential for life and for impact and for influence that that life will have. But if he is cared for properly, one day he'll grow into be a man and he'll be able to do great things. Okay? And I believe the Lord is saying the very same thing about this service. Okay? This service, this early service is being birthed today. Okay? And we need to care for it. We need to love it. We need to pray for it. We need to invite people to it. Amen. Right now, the life is very fragile and tender, but if we surround it with our love and with our care and with our devotion, it will grow into something that will multiply great life in our church and in our community. And I really believe that the Lord is wanting us to understand this as we begin today. Hallelujah. So let's pray. Let's pray in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and I praise you, O Lord, for your wonderful word. Lord, and I thank you, O Lord, that you have great things to do in this year of 2018, the year of obtained favor. Hallelujah. The year of obtained favor, the year where we're going to move into the great things that you have for us, O Lord, and see them obtained in many ways. Oh, Lord, perhaps even some of them that have been delayed a long time, oh, Lord, they will be obtained this year. We will walk in the land. We will hold them in our hands. Lord, we will shout for joy, Lord. Oh, Lord, this year as we obtain that which you have purposed for us. And, Lord, today I'm thanking you that through your word, Lord, we know how to build our lives, Lord, in such a way that we obtain your favor. Lord, I thank you and I praise you. And Holy Spirit, I just ask you to pour out revelation in our lives. I ask you to shine a great light upon our hearts, Lord, as we hear your word. Oh, Lord, and that we would be able to get rid of everything, Lord, that would rob us of obtaining your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. 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 All right. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12 is our first verse today. Some of this was shared at the praise and worship retreat. When I returned home from the praise and worship retreat, I'll be honest, I had planned to speak on a different topic. But as I was praying and preparing after we got home, I really felt like the Lord said to go back to this. And so we're going to revisit this today. And we're going to look at some of the things that generate so many questions in Christians' lives. And we're going to see what to do about them. And I'm really believing that God is going to help us as a church to be able to identify the things that would keep us from obtaining everything that he has for us this year. And that we're going to start this year in a different place than we have been. That we're going to start this year ready to see great things happen and not have things that will bring disappointment into our lives. Hallelujah. Proverbs 13, verse 12 simply says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Hallelujah. You know, wherever I go, I see believers, and the enemy's goal in believers' lives is to make our hearts sick through delaying or deferring the hope that we have been placing in our God. Okay? I see, you know, people who are filled, whose hearts are filled with bitterness. I see people's hearts that are filled with sorrow. I see people's hearts that are filled with questions, you know, wondering what it is that's going on. Why is it that my God has not moved in the way that I expected, or in the way that I thought he was saying in his word, or in the way that I understood that he was going to do it? Why is it that it keeps on delaying? You know, and sometimes believers even experience the crushing disappointment of seeing things that they have built with the expectation that there would be great fruitfulness in those things coming down, those things collapsing, you know, and believers are left with hope deferred. You know, and the Bible tells us that hope deferred makes the heart sick. It makes the heart sick. One of the symptoms of a sick heart is a heart that no longer expects, a heart that no longer hopes in God. Whenever we lose that expectation that God is, what we were singing about earlier, that he is the one that moves mountains, you know, whenever we lose that expectation, that is a sign that something is going wrong in my heart, that a measure of sickness has set into my spiritual heart. Okay? And the Bible says very clearly that it's hope deferred that makes the heart sick. Now, God, when God moves, sometimes his promises are delayed longer than we want them to be. That is true. But it never gets to the place where we become sick of heart, because he releases grace to us as we continually turn to him, and as things seem to delay and it seems to be longer than what we were thinking it should take. You know, God releases the grace and we retain the joy and the hope that God has that he will do what he's promised he will do. Okay? But when hope is deferred in a way that is not according to the will of God, his perfect will, it makes our heart sick. And I see so many believers fighting and struggling with this kind of thing. And, you know, then we see that what it says in the remainder of that verse, desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Amen. Okay, so here we have two very contrasting things. You know, hope being deferred, and it makes our heart sick. But desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Amen. It generates life inside of us. It causes our whole being to flow with life. Amen. And so, you know, I ask you the question, which of those two things is it that you believe that Jesus wants to do in your life? You know, so many people believe that what the Lord wants to do is to delay things, that delaying fulfillment is something that God is pleased with. God does not do that any longer than he absolutely has to. Desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Jesus is the tree of life. He is the tree of life. All eternal life flows from him. He is the tree of life that we will eat and partake of when we're in the New Jerusalem. Okay, and so his goal in our life is not to deny us fulfillment of our desires, but it's to bring fulfillment of our godly desires. The things that are in accordance with the will of God, his desire and his action in our life is always going to be to fulfill desire, not deny godly desire. The way the Holy Spirit moves in people is to bring us to the place where we are obtaining that which we have desired. Where that desire, that godly thing, that thing that is according to the word of God, it is fulfilled in my life. Whatever it may be. Whatever the things that we're seeking or looking for, if it's a godly desire, like what it says in James, sometimes believers have ungodly desires, and the Lord does not want to fulfill that. Why not? Because that actually will become a tree of death in your life. I think that I want it, but it's not in accordance with God's will. It's not in accordance with God's word. And so it won't minister life to me. I think it will because my flesh says that it will, okay? But it won't do that. It won't work that way. And so the Lord never works to bring us things that are against his word, okay? Because it doesn't release life. But the action of the Holy Spirit is always to bring fulfilled desire in our life. It says there, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. You know, it's really simple. If we choose to delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give us the godly desires that are greater than the things that we would come up with on our own. Okay, he will give us the godly desire in our marriage, with our children, in our families, in our finances, in every area of our life. He'll give us godly desires, and those things will be greater than the things that we would come up with in our own natural thinking. Delight yourself in the Lord, Psalm says. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. First, he will place those desires in you, and then as his life is working inside of you and me, it's going to work to bring fulfillment to those desires. I want to tear down today every deception that tells us that God wants to frustrate godly desire. His action is to bring fulfillment because that is a tree of life. And he came that we would have life and have it more abundantly. You know, I want to destroy today any concept that the devil has been able to sow in our lives. You know, that God is always really working to deny us the great things and the blessings that we believe that we should obtain. That is a lie of Satan. That is a lie of Satan. And to whatever measure that it's taken place in my heart, I need to cast it out of my heart. I need to break its power in my life. Amen. Amen. Because the work of the Holy Spirit is to fulfill desire because that brings a tree of life into me. And once again, he came that we would have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. God longs to fulfill our godly desires. He wants to do that. He longs to move in our lives in such a way that you and I will be dancing for joy at the fulfillment of the promise. At the fulfillment of that which we have hoped for. I just want to say that is the nature of our God. The very nature of our God is to bring fulfillment, not to bring deferment. Amen. The very nature of the Lord, he is a tree of life. His very nature is to cause you and I to flourish in such a way that more fulfillment, more fulfilled godly desires are a part of our experience here on earth. Thank you, Lord. You know, and when we begin to really understand that, you know, we're going to start rejoicing more in our lives. We're going to cast off weights and sorrows in a greater measure when we begin to really take a hold of that in a new place. And it's very important that we do that because this is the year of obtained favor. It's very important that we do that. It's very important that we cast aside every false image of God. That somehow my suffering is what he's looking for. That somehow the delaying of the promise is what he's looking for. No, he doesn't delay it one single instant more than is necessary for that fulfillment to not bring something negative in my life. Sometimes he has to shape our character before he releases the blessing. You know, because the blessing would ruin us if our character was not shaped. Okay, and so he does that, but he doesn't do it any longer than it is necessary for the blessing to truly be a blessing. We need to understand his very nature. He delights in fulfilling your and my godly desires. It makes him happy. That's what he wants to see. At the end of this year, he wants you and I to be able to say, these are the things that have become a tree of life inside of me that were not there in the beginning of the year. Because I was desiring this godly thing in my life, and it has come to be a reality inside of me, or in my circumstance, whatever it may be, it has become real to me this year. Hallelujah. And you dance for joy. You jump up and down for joy because it has become real. Amen. You know, we tend to equate weeping at the altar with true spirituality, but I want to tell you the function of the tree of life is to release joy. Amen. Hallelujah. To fulfill desire. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Godly desire. He wants you and I to have it. I mean, what kind of an appetite do you have for fulfillment? You know, I hope you have a great appetite for fulfillment. And if you don't have, you know, if your desires are so small, your fulfillment will also be small. Even when God does answer that question, even when he does fulfill that desire, well, you know, it's, well, that's kind of cool, you know. I got this thing that I was looking for. But, you know, it doesn't really release much because there wasn't much desire. No, I love it when I see a believer that comes to me and says, you know what? This is what I'm wanting. I'm wanting God, for example. This is just one example. It could be many different things. I'm wanting God to bless my finances this year. Because I want to have great joy and delight in bringing, for example, let's say as Tori is here in a couple, in about 10 days, I want to sow into the ministry in Tanzania, and I want to be able to sow more than I've ever sown before. You know, and people have a determination, and they have, you know, a strength, and they have a desire inside of them. If I don't have much desire, that is a sign that my heart has become sick. Disappointment and deferment is already moving in my life, and it's removing life from my heart, not bringing greater life as desire is fulfilled. How many understand what we're talking about this morning? Hallelujah. The Lord wants you and I to have great desire. For godly things, yes. He wants us to have great desire for godly things. He wants us to have a great desire for a godly marriage. He wants us to have a great desire that our children would prosper and grow great in the land. He wants us to have a great desire that we can reach out to the world and see great things done in nations of the world. He doesn't look at us that have that kind of a desire and say, that's too big, that's pride, that's arrogance. I want to tear down that lie today. Someone who dares to desire great things, as long as they're godly things, that person is not arrogant. That person is healthy. That person is healthy in their heart. Why are they healthy? Because the health of their heart reflects the greatness of their God. You know, and when I desire just small things, what I'm really saying is, my God is really small. You know, and the sickness of my heart makes me not want much from him. Okay? But when my heart is healthy, when my heart is where it should be, you know, then something marvelous happens inside of me. And I begin to look at this great God. And I begin to see, and I begin to look, not at what could be the problems that would keep me from growing. But I begin to look and say, you know, there really are no limits to what this great God can do. Why don't I believe him and desire from him something greater than what I'm living right now? Amen. And that is a healthy heart. That is a heart that is healthy, not arrogant. You know, sometimes in the religious world, we have confused health with arrogance. You know, and that's what they saw with Joseph. You know, Joseph, he had a dream. It was a God dream, you know, and he was called arrogant. That's what they said about David. You know, David said, what's going to be done for the man who kills Goliath and removes this disgrace from Israel? You know, and he was accused of being arrogant. He was accused of being overreaching. Hallelujah. Well, let me tell you one thing. Don't let the fear of being accused of being arrogant or overreaching change what you desire in God. Don't let that. I can't even guarantee you that there won't be other believers that don't accuse you of being arrogant or proud, because it was David's brothers that did it. Okay? But what I can tell you is this: taking down Goliath is worth it. Amen. Is worth it. The reward is worth it. The fulfillment is worth it. You know, and then the brothers are going to have to look at you and they're going to have to say, you know what? God is with them. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. Amen. God is with you. He is with you. You know, they may have to grind their teeth as they say it. None of those brothers are at Grace Covenant Church. I know that. Okay, none of them are here, you know, but come on, believe for something that will make somebody who is carnally minded jealous. There's lots of people out there. Oh, my God can just do this little bitty thing. I just want that because that won't upset anybody if he does that for me. Come on. Hallelujah. Let's wake up and begin to understand, you know, health in my heart means I desire great things from a great God. Amen. Because it's not me doing them anyway. It's Him. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's arrogance to think that I can only do small things because then I'm relying on myself. You know, the person that's believing for great things loses their arrogance. Why? Because they know they can't do it themselves. And they learn to rely on God. They learn to rely on His faithfulness. They learn to rely on His word. And then they're not arrogant because they're trusting in Him, not in their own strength. Arrogant is the person who only does small things all their life, but does them in their own strength. Everything that they have, they obtained in their own ability and strength. That is true arrogance. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is good. He wants to fulfill your desire. He wants to grant you greater desires. I challenge you this year. You know, this is our first Sunday this year. We weren't able to meet last Sunday. I challenge you this year. Don't be a coward. Don't be a coward. Don't just sit back there and just say, well, this is what I know God can do because I know I can do it. Don't do that. Look for God to do something greater in you than you can accomplish on your own. And that is the only true path to humility. That's the only true path to humility, is for me to be able to stand on top of that mountain and me and everyone else know He surely did not do that on His own. He surely is not smart enough to do that. He surely is not business-minded enough to accomplish this. He surely did not have the power to see the sick healed in His own strength. It was God that did it. I've heard so many people say, I don't want God to move in healing through me because I don't want to get proud. You know, I'm telling you, when God moves in healing through you, it makes you more humble, not more proud. Because you realize, you know what? I really don't have anything in my own strength. If God doesn't move, I've got egg on my face. Hallelujah. But I only get egg on my face because I'm trying to move in my own strength. All right, it may be a little too early for that one, but I'll let you think about that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, amen. And so God, He wants to fill us with hope for new things this year. And we're going to look at what are the things that deny us that. But first I want to read Romans 15:13 just as a confirming verse of the very nature of God. It says, now may the God of hope, first of all, He is the God of hope. He's not the God of deferred hope. He's the God of hope. May he fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I want to use this verse to kind of confirm from Scripture what I've been saying. The function of the Holy Spirit, one of his actions in our life, is not to criticize us and accuse us of being arrogant. Now, he'll correct us when he needs to, okay? But the action of the Holy Spirit is going to cause us to abound in hope. Because he's the God of hope. You know, and I'm just going to tell it to you real straight this morning, okay? You know, and maybe that'll help us, you know, wake up a little bit more, all right? You know, abound in hope. If you don't have much hope, you don't have much action of the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen. May the God of hope fill you so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit in you and in me is going to cause me to have abundant hope. Heart sickness that comes through the deferring of hope makes me deny hope. Makes me not want to hope. Makes me want to give in to bitterness, to sorrow, to limitations, to walls, to boundaries that are not boundaries that are set in God's word. Every boundary that's set in God's word, we respect and we abide by. But there are so many things that we confine ourselves within that are not in God's word. And the power of the Holy Spirit is going to cause you and I to abound in hope. If you're moving with great power of the Holy Spirit, you're someone that is hoping for a lot of great things. And you might even be transitioning from hope to faith, okay? But it starts with hope. It starts with hope. Those whose sickness of heart causes them to never hope anything, they're basically limiting the blessings that God can bring into their lives. And that's why the devil wants to defer hope and make us heart sick. Thank you, Lord. Great things, great things, great things for you. Great things for me. Greater than we have ever experienced before. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I mean, already this year, for the third year in a row, you know, I found myself in having the privilege of translating Pastor Marco at the Morris Cirillo World Conference and going to 150 nations all over the world. And Pastor Wade, I have to admit, I never even hoped that that would ever happen. Okay? But if you don't deny hope, if you don't shut off hope, God can move above and beyond what we even think or imagine. We have to not allow sickness of heart shut off our hope.
That's right.
Because if it does that, you know, we have effectively choked off the way that God blesses us.
Right.
You know, because that blessing is like a child. It doesn't just happen overnight. There's usually a spiritual pregnancy of a desire. Okay? There's usually a spiritual time when that desire that God gave you or that you saw in God's word and it was birthed in your heart and the Holy Spirit was moving through you as you read the word and that desire was born within you, there's usually a time for that to develop. But those who choose through heart sickness to deny hope never get started down that path. And it's not because you're worse than anyone else. It's not because God doesn't want to bless you. It's not because God loves other people more than you. It's because I'm just choosing to deny going down the path that he works through. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay? So what are the things that cause believers to defer hope? Let's look at that. Luke chapter 6, verses 47 through 49. Oh, amen. I want to read that from God's word to you. Everyone, this is Jesus speaking, everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly, it is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation, and the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. Okay? I want to connect these things. See, because these things apply to believers in a very, very special way. They apply to everybody, but to believers in a very, very special way. Okay? What is it that causes hope to be deferred in the life of a Christian? Okay? What is it that causes that to happen? And it's exactly what Jesus is saying here. It's when we're trying to build something on a faulty foundation. Okay? And because it is a faulty foundation, eventually it collapses. And that has not been the will of God. It's because I was building on a faulty foundation. And I see Christians, I see believers that are trying to do something that is godly and that are believing for something that is, I believe, in accordance with the will of God for their lives. But because it's being built on a faulty foundation, it repeatedly collapses. It never gets where it's supposed to go. You know, what are the things that causes hope to be deferred in the life of a believer? It's building on a faulty foundation. You know, and it's not that God doesn't want that house to stand. It's just that I'm choosing to build it on something that is not solid. It's just that I'm trying to accomplish this desire in a way that is not according to what God's word says it should be. Okay, and I want us to look at three things very quickly here as to what can cause that to happen in my life, all right? And the first one is very clear. Sin can cause hope to be deferred. Okay, the practice of living in sin voluntarily can and will cause hope and blessing that God intends for me to be deferred. Why will it do that? Because God hates me? No, it's because I'm not ready for that blessing. That sin in my life is showing that I'm not ready for it. Okay? And it's not that he doesn't forgive me, and it's not that he doesn't love me. It's because he does love me. And if I'm allowing that sin to take hold of my life and to become a continual practice in my life, I'm not ready for that blessing. And it's not that he is deferring hope. He is actually deferring our destruction. Now, I want to, you know, he's not trying to set you up for failure. He is actually saving you from greater failure. Okay? And we need to understand sin sets us up for deferred grace, for deferred hope, excuse me. It sets us up for that. You know, the continual walking in certain types of sin. The habitual repetition of sin, it can bring us to the place where hope does have to be delayed beyond what the Lord wants it to be delayed for our own good. Amen. Okay? And I want to say one more thing about this. I've really meditated on saying this. I don't want to be accusing, but I feel like I need to say this right now. And this is where what I'm going to call the hyper grace movement actually sets believers up for failure and deferred hope. Because people who teach that there is, you know, it's just grace, it's all grace, it's all grace, it's all grace. There's no transformation that needs to happen in my life. You know, and people start building on that foundation that it doesn't matter what I do. It's all covered by the grace of God. It doesn't matter whether I am bound in certain types of sin or not. That does not matter. It doesn't make any difference because it's all grace. This kind of hyper-grace teaching sets people up for deferred hope. Because eventually, that thing that has been eating away at the foundation of what I'm trying to build, that sin that's been eating away at the foundation of what I'm trying to see God do in my life, eventually it's going to cause that to collapse. And sometimes years of effort and years of work and years of believing can be undermined because I've bought into something that it doesn't really matter what I do. Yes, God does graciously forgive us. Yes, He loves us. Okay? But God is not someone to be played around with either. Okay? And if I deliberately continue to allow things to happen in my life, I just want us to know, for our own goodness, for our own sake, God is going to defer things from happening in my life. Because it would be even worse if He did. I would take His blessing and use it in a wrong way. Okay? And so sin can cause hope to be deferred in the believer's life beyond what the Lord wants it to be deferred. Can I hear some amens to that? Okay? That's just the truth. You know, that's just the truth. It's just shooting straight with you guys. You know, and any teaching that tells you that God will bless you no matter what you do, you're setting yourself up for deferred hope if you believe that. Okay? Thank you, Lord. All right, now the second thing that causes me to build in a way that it's eventually going to collapse under its own weight. And here's something that is really, really difficult for us to understand many times. And I put it like this in our notes. I said it differently at the retreat. It's conditioning my hope in the expectation that other people will change. That can cause great deferring of hope. I'm building my life expecting that so-and-so is going to be different tomorrow, and I'm building my life as if they already are. Now, I'm not hearing anyone shout me down this morning on that. Okay? Because that is something that all of us want to do. We want to believe that so-and-so is going to change. We want to believe that our spouse is going to change. Okay? We want to believe that this is going to happen. We want to believe, you know, that people will do this and will do that and that they'll change, you know. And the problem with that is, unless God has told you they will, you do not know if that will happen. And people build their lives in the expectation that other people connected to them are going to become different than what they are now. And many times that house collapses because the person continues to do exactly what they've always done. Okay? You know, and this morning, I just want to tell you, God wants to break those patterns in our lives. He wants to cause us not to build our lives in such a way that we are dependent on other people deciding that they're going to obey God's word. To build our lives in such a way that we are just dependent on what He is saying to us. And we pray for others and hope and believe that they will change, okay? And we put all of our heart in asking God to do that, but I don't build my life in the expectation that someone who is not obeying God now will change. Because I'm setting myself up for deferred hope in many, many situations. Okay? Now, there are some exceptions to that. Sometimes God does speak and He says, you can go ahead and move with this because so-and-so is going to change. But I'm going to tell you like a pastor this morning, for every 100 people that have told me that, maybe one or two of them actually did hear from God. You know, it's too easy to hear what our emotions want. It's too easy to hear what we think should happen. It's too easy to hear what we want and what we know would be best for them to do. Because it's according to God's word. And we understand that God is telling us that that's going to happen. God sometimes does that. But more often, far more often than not, people that come to me, you know, they have believed that, but it didn't really happen that way. And emotions have gotten a hold, and they're building according to emotions rather than the solid foundation of the Word of God. And how many know if I'm building on my feelings, one day it's going to collapse. And much work and much effort and much prayer and much, you know, many of these things that I have put a lot of effort into, they're going to collapse under their own weight. And it's not God's fault. It's because I'm choosing to believe in man rather than God. And what does God's word say about that? That does not work, okay, depending on the translation. And it can even be, cursed is he who trusts in man. Bad things are going to happen when I do that. Bad things are going to happen when I build my life counting on someone else changing when they're not doing it now. Today is the day of repentance. If they're not responding today, who guarantees that they will tomorrow? It's what Paul says. You know, it's what Paul says. He talks about that in a very specific way. And we need to understand that just because it would be good for people to change, that doesn't mean that they will. Just because we really want them to doesn't mean that they will. Just because it would be great and God would bless if they did doesn't mean that they will. And so I need to refrain from building my life on my desires that they'll change rather than on God's word. Rather than on God's word. And the third one here, as we begin to draw to a close, it's very, very important. It's believing untruth. Believing untruth. Believing that, and this specifically I want to isolate, believing that God's word says something that it doesn't actually say. Okay? Believing that God has promised in his word that he's going to do this or that or the other, okay? And my belief system is not really built on, let's get that scripture back up there, Devin. It's not really based on the words of Jesus. It's based on a faulty interpretation of what he has said. Guys, you know, the one who has heard and has acted accordingly, firstly it says, okay, but the one who has heard has not acted accordingly. You know, and so when I believe, and I'm asking God here in our church, because I love the people of Grace Covenant Church, and I'm tired of seeing people disappointed and heart sick because something has collapsed that God really didn't promise. And the damage that that does in believers' lives is really amazing. It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. In this year of obtained favor, church, I believe God is setting us up to get rid of all of that junk, to get rid of all the faulty foundations, to get rid of all the false things that we are believing. You know, and I'm not even saying that there's anyone in here that is right now. I don't know that. But I know that I see believers planning their lives and conditioning their lives, believing something that isn't exactly what God's word said. Be careful what we do with God's word. Be careful what we do with God's word. I do not have the freedom to manipulate God's word to make it say what I want it to say. And if I do that, the things that I build will not stand up under their own weight. Eventually, they'll collapse. Thank you, Lord. I want to ask the church to stand right now in Jesus' name. And I'm asking for the Lord to shine a great light in our lives. I believe he's releasing grace, guys. I believe that he's releasing grace for us to understand, you know, where there are faulty foundations that are going to result in hope being deferred in our lives and heart sickness coming into us. I believe that he's releasing grace for us to just deal with these things, you know, and take out the faulty foundations, take out the things that, you know, as much as I want them to be true, they're not true. As much as it would be great if they were true, that doesn't make them true. As much as it would be fantastic, you know, if everything that I think about this situation were the truth, it's not the truth. And then a year, 2, 3, 5, 10 years down the road, things collapse. God wants to deliver us from that this year. Right now, this message is a work of grace. And we won't waste any more time building things that are not on a solid foundation, so that we can go about building on what is a solid foundation. Amen. And really see some reward. Really see some things, some blessing. Really see some hope being fulfilled and desires being fulfilled that release life inside of me. And I live greater than I've ever lived before. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I just want to ask those that want to say, Holy Spirit, come and help me identify anything in my life. Help me see truth. Help me see where I might be placing undue expectation on other people. Help me where I might be, Lord, playing with sin, not realizing the consequences of it. Help me where I may be doing that, God. Help me to see the light. You know, if you really want the Holy Spirit to shine like a great light in you today and in me, in all of us, I invite you to come forward and let's just respond to Him for a moment. Hallelujah. Let's just respond to Him and ask Him, Holy Spirit, shine a great light inside of me. I want to see, Lord, everything that's going to end up with me being disappointed, and it's not necessary. It's not necessary. It's not my portion. I want to see it now, Lord, so I can deal with it. And 2018 can be an awesome and mighty year for me, obtaining real favor with You. Seeing my desires, godly desires, fulfilled. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. If you would, if you want to pray this prayer with me, just lift up your hand together with me and let's pray. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Elizabeth, I'm going to ask you, if you think you're able, to close with the song that was written at the retreat. Okay? If you think you're able, if you're not, that's fine. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. There was a wonderful song written at the retreat about this. And church, so let's pray now in Jesus' name. Let's pray now in Jesus' name. And let's ask God. Come on, enough disappointment. Enough deferred hope. Enough crushing heart sickness that comes because things have been delayed beyond what they should have been. It's not God being delaying those things. It's my wrong beliefs. It's my building on a faulty foundation. It's my building on something that is not really the Word of God. It's my building according to my emotions rather than truth. Because the Bible says you'll know the truth and the truth will set us free. I'm believing that we're going to be set free today. Set free today from traps that the enemy has set to make you and I become heart sick with disappointment. Hallelujah. And then not be able to understand why God didn't do it. Hallelujah. Let's raise our hands and pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I just pray for the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, I pray for the Holy Spirit, Lord, to shine a great light in our lives. Lord, and even things that we have wanted to believe, Lord, that aren't true, even things that we have desired and our emotions tell us this would be great, Lord. Lord, reveal those things to us today, Lord, because we'd rather see them for what they are now than be crushed with the disappointment of them being revealed for what they were years down the road with wasted effort, with long-term effort just going up in smoke, with long-term effort just collapsing beyond recognition. Lord, we want to see it now. And Father, I believe Your work of grace right now will empower us to see in the change. Hallelujah. And Your power is going to do what the Word of God says in Romans 15. We're going to abound in hope, and our hope is not going to be misplaced. Solidly based on the real truth of God's Word, not circumstance or people or anything else. Lord, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Let's continue to pray. And I'm going to ask this team to minister this song. This was an awesome song. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is good. God is good.